Welcome to the Beyond Barriers podcast. When women lead, share performance and profits go up 50%. Results are more powerful when everyone is empowered. This is the insight that brought the four founders of Beyond Barriers together. We came from a diverse set of leadership backgrounds with a common goal: to close the gender gap at work and expand economic opportunities for everyone. Tune in each week as one of us interviews inspiring guests who share stories and cutting-edge strategies that will help you learn what helped them go further, faster.
So much self-doubt, and then also so much doubt from people I talk to. So in the very early days, as I was trying to put together this business and trying to start talking to investors, like, people basically would say something along the lines of, okay, little girl, that's a cute idea. In no world are you going to source this superfood that nobody's ever heard of from Africa, a continent that people don't think of as having like high quality products, and introduce this to the US market. With what experience, how are you going to do that? In some ways, like, their doubt made my self-doubt go away, because I'm like, I'm going to prove you all wrong. Like, I'm going to make this a thing. And I think the other thing that really helped was just breaking it down into bite-sized pieces. But I think sometimes when I talk to other entrepreneurs, they feel like everything has to be lined up before they're going to go all in and eliminate that self-doubt. And I think of it more as, okay, what are the milestones along the way towards realizing your dream? It doesn't all have to fall into place right away. Everything doesn't happen on the timeline you want. Things are going to go wrong. But what are the small little steps that can add up to that big leap forward?
Today, we explore the remarkable story of Lisa Curtis, who went from Peace Corps volunteer to trailblazing CEO of Kuli Kuli Foods, a leading brand pioneering the sustainable superfood, Moringa. Join me, Monica Marquez, as we discover how a struggle for nutrition while volunteering in West Africa led Lisa to the local treasure, Moringa, and sparked the creation of a superfood empire. This discovery wasn't just a turning point for her health, it sparked an idea that would challenge and change her life. With determination and the support of a community that believed in her, Lisa overcame doubts and skepticism to bring this superfood sensation to the U.S. Lisa's journey from a simple village remedy to being recognized on the Forbes 30 Under 30 list and Inc. magazine's top 100 female founders is a true testament to the power of innovation and community spirit. Discover this transformative journey where resilience meets nourishment. Visit gobeyondbarriers.com, where you'll find show notes and links to all the resources in this episode, including the best way to get in touch with our special guest. Welcome, Lisa. Thank you so much for joining the Beyond Barriers podcast. We are thrilled to have you here. I did a little bit of research following you, and I was just so touched by your story and some of the things that you've done with your Kuli Kuli Foods. And I think the story behind it is so heartwarming, but also shows where you're coming from a place of passion and you're doing what you were intended to do on this earth. I want to dive in and introduce you to our audience, but tell us a little bit about your journey. Who is Lisa and how did you end up where you are now with Kuli Kuli Foods?
Well, thanks for having me, Monica. It's a pleasure to be on the show. So I started this company out of the Peace Corps, actually. So it was not something I was anticipating. I'd say the business happened to me in the sense that I was a volunteer in Niger, West Africa, within a very rural village. You can visualize no electricity, no running water, no grocery store down the street, maybe the opposite of where you are in New York. And it was a really interesting place to be in, particularly as a vegetarian. I was finding really eating carb every day, every meal. And it was a diet that left me feeling really weak and really tired. And so I was volunteering in my village's health center, and I asked some of the women, what can I eat that will give me more strength and more energy? And they literally pulled these leaves off the tree, mixed them into this popular local snack called Kuli Kuli, and said, eat this Kuli Kuli Moringa. It'll make you feel better. And I was like, what? Like tree leaves? I've never heard of Moringa. No idea what this thing was. But I was like, well, I feel pretty crappy. I trust these women. Let me try it. So I started eating this Kuli Kuli Moringa snack. And it had honestly the most profound impact on my body of anything I've ever taken. I just felt so much more energized. Just like it gave my body everything it needed to feel good. And so I'm blown away. And the next time I got into the city and got some internet, I was like, okay, what is Moringa? You type it into Google and realize that maybe I hadn't heard of this plant, but it's eaten all over the world. It's the national vegetable of the Philippines. It's called the drumstick tree in India. I've used it a lot of sambar and curries. It's called the miracle tree in a lot of parts of Africa. So it's incredible and used in Ayurvedic medicine. It's an incredibly important plant and just one that I hadn't heard of. So long story short, I was like, what? How can I help more people in my village grow it and use it locally? This plant is so nutritious. There's a lot of malnutrition in Niger. What can we do to benefit from it? And long story short, the thing they wanted was to find a way to sell it in the U.S. and earn an income from it. And I was 23 at the time. Sure, no problem. I'll help you create a market for this superfood and not really knowing what I'm signing up for.
That's phenomenal. And I loved how it's one of these things, you tried it, but I loved how you took the initiative to learn more about what it was. And you mentioned you Googled it, learned about it. Tell us a little bit more about it. As you started gaining clarity on what is this thing, and you started and you realized that that village you had volunteered at, you could be this conduit to help also them start building some wealth for the village. What was it, and how did you start formulating or gaining clarity of once you learned what it really was and how you could do it? Talk a little bit more about that. Educate us more on what is Moringa, but then also, once you got that knowledge, how did you gain that clarity and what you wanted to do with it?
Yeah. So, I mean, the things that I learned is like, wow, this is a tree, grows with very little water, it's super drought resistant, which is perfect for so many parts of the world, you know, from Niger to California in some respect. And it grows often when other plants aren't growing. So during that kind of hunger season, which is when there's the highest rates of malnutrition, and it's incredibly nutritious, packed with protein, calcium, iron, vitamins. I think of it as like the kale of the tropics, but even more nutritious than kale. And it tastes earthy, a little bit like matcha, like a green earthiness. There's like a slight hint of spiciness at the end, kind of like arugula. And so I was just like, and my initial idea was, how do I just grow more of it in my village? It was a pretty small project proposal. And I think the thing that I learned pretty quickly is like, these farmers weren't going to grow a crop that they couldn't sell. And so what they really wanted was a way for them to sell it. And when I got back to the U.S., it was one of those things where I was like, well, I made this commitment. I don't really know how to do this. I've never even worked in the food industry, like, let alone started a food company. But I made a commitment. The people have given me so much respect and faith that I will trust that I will see this through. Let me see what I can do. Let me try my best. And I think that was really the beginning motivation and thing that drove me to keep trying.
I love that. And there were so many points that you mentioned of many people, because we take the hundreds, thousands of individuals through our Beyond Barriers program. And usually we ask them this question at the very beginning of, what do you hope to shed and leave behind as you go through the program? And so many of them talk about they hope to shed the self-doubt they get when there's uncertainty. And you just talked about, there were so many things that were uncertain to you. Like, I've never started a food company before. I've never started a business. I don't know anything about, like, how am I supposed to help this village on the other side of the world source and sell this in the U.S.? So there was lots of moments of courage for you where you could have, like you said, just given up or saying, okay, this is too difficult. But you took the initiative to learn more about it and do it. Can you talk a little bit about maybe some of those moments of self-doubt or like, I'm in way over my head? And how did you just keep moving forward? You hinted to, you'd made a commitment. And so you wanted to keep that commitment. But what else? What else really helped you keep moving forward despite that uncertainty and that fear that might have cropped up?
Oh, totally. There was so much self-doubt and then also so much doubt from people I talk to. So in the very early days, as I was trying to put together this business and trying to start talking to investors, like, people basically would say something along the lines of, okay, little girl, that's a cute idea. In no world are you going to source this superfood that nobody's ever heard of from Africa, a continent that people don't think of as having like high quality products, and introduce this to the US market with what experience, with how are you going to do that? And I think in some ways, like their doubt made my self-doubt go away. Cause I'm like, I'm going to prove you all wrong. Like I'm going to make this a thing. And I think the other thing that really helped was just breaking it down into bite-sized pieces. Like I came out of the Peace Corps with $2,000 in my bank account. I was not like wealthy and like able to self-fund. And so I got a day job, and this was my like night weekend passion project. And so I kept telling myself, I'm going to start with this one thing. And the first thing was, let's test this at farmer's market. Let's figure out how to import moringa leaves to the US, make some products in a commercial kitchen and test them, sample consumers, see if there's a market there. And then when that went really well and there were people interested from there, I was like, okay, let's see if we can just get into one store. Can we just get into one store and see how it does there? And then once we got into Whole Foods Northern California, that to me was like the proof point that I needed to quit my day job and say, okay, I'm going all in on this. But I think sometimes when I talk to other entrepreneurs, they feel like everything has to be lined up before they're going to go all in and eliminate that self-doubt. Mm-hmm. And I think of it more as, okay, what are the milestones along the way towards realizing your dream? And it doesn't all have to fall into place right away. And it's not. Generally, everything doesn't happen on the timeline you want. Things are going to go wrong. But what are the small little steps that can add up to that big leap forward?
You mentioned a couple of things. Well, first and foremost, you were moonlighting, doing this on the side, right? When you were saying that you were initially testing and learning and trying to figure out, let's try it out in farmers markets and things like that. And then you talked about after you felt like, okay, we got into Whole Foods, a bit of a product market fit kind of thing, you had to make a really difficult decision and a big risk of, I'm going to leave my secure full-time job and do this full-time. Can you help me understand how you weighed the like pros and cons to say, okay, I'm just going to go all in? And were there moments even after you did that, that you were like, did I make the right decision?
Oh, so many moments. I felt like I had a reoccurring existential crisis for a year daily. Did I do the right thing here? Because I really liked my job and I was passionate about my day job. I liked the people I worked with. It was stable. I was good at it. And even my parents, when I told them, they're like, really? You're gonna give that up and go do this side dream? And it's one of those things where I felt like if I didn't give it my all and I didn't try, then I would regret that for the rest of my life. And then I could always get another day job, but to not having given it my all, I think would have been a big regret.
I love that. And can you talk a little bit about, you said you broke it down into small kind of like little milestones. Let me do this first and that first. How did you go about prioritizing or like you said, there were things that you were just testing and learning. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because sometimes, like you said, people want the perfect plan and then be able to execute on the perfect plan, like this milestone, then this milestone. And like you said, it was a little bit of a hodgepodge of things that you've got to test and learn, fail and learn and keep going. Can you talk about maybe some of those moments where you tested, failed, it was the wrong thing, you had a pivot, and what do you do in those moments?
Oh, totally. Yeah. No, for me, it was all about like the mini proof point. And I was trying to prove to myself, is this worth quitting my job for? And the first one was really, will people buy this at farmers markets? And it was really interesting in that I came into those markets being like, wow, this supports small farmers, women in West Africa, it helps to plant trees. It's so good for the world. We're giving back in all of these great ways. And so I was pitching people on that. And the number of people who would walk to my booth and be interested in what I had to say and ask questions and then walk away without buying a thing was really mind-blowing to me. And I think I learned a really important lesson about, no, this is not an NGO. You are not here to talk about all the social benefits. You got to talk first and foremost about what are the benefits to consumers.
Yes.
Looks into the Right, exactly. And so then I started testing out, okay, oh, more nutritious than kale, has more anti-inflammatory benefits than turmeric, according to a Rutgers study, tastes like matcha and give you energy, but no caffeine. And then things like that, where people are like, oh, okay, I could use some energy and not have to be caffeinated from it. Or I have issues with inflammation. I'm interested in trying other superfoods like turmeric. So that was a big learning point for me. Mm-hmm. I think that another one was, and so that was thing one, will people buy this? And so we proved, yeah, people will buy it, at least with the right pitch, they will.
Right.
And then there's a question of, okay, we need to do a manufacturing run. It was $50,000 to do a manufacturing run. Mm-hmm. Again, I had $2,000 in my bank account. Like, there's no way I could self-fund that. And so to me, the second proof point became like, will people put money into this? Can we do a crowdfunding campaign? Can we raise enough money to manufacture that? And I think the big thing we learned is things often take longer than they should. And we thought, oh, great, crowdfunding campaign. And then we'll have it manufactured and we'll have it on the shelves in 3 months. And like so many crowdfunding campaigns, it was like, oh, no, we raised the money. It was amazing. And then we had 6 months until we actually delivered the product. And so it's a good lesson around like, setting realistic timelines and building in more room for things to go wrong, because things always go wrong.
Mm, I love that you said that, building in the time for things to go wrong. Like it's a given, things will go wrong. And then how do you just navigate, pivot around those things and not let it derail you completely? I think that's phenomenal. And I'm telling you, once you started talking about what's in it for me, you sold me, because I'm a huge matcha drinker and I'm now like, maybe I should do Moringa. And I drink tons of turmeric drink for inflammation. I'm like, okay, well, maybe I can eliminate the two with the Moringas.
Different than when I was like, I'm a Peace Corps volunteer. It's good for the world, right? It's like a different, it resonates in a different way.
Absolutely. I think that's phenomenal. So Lisa, I just have to ask, you found this amazing plant Moringa while you're volunteering at the Peace Corps. How did you come up with the name Cooley Cooley Foods when you decided to launch?
Yeah, so Cooley Cooley was this, it is this popular peanut snack. And it was how when I was in Peace Corps and I was feeling so tired and not getting the right nutrients, that was a snack that the women in the health center mixed with Moringa. It was my gateway to Moringa, with this Cooley Cooley Moringa snack. And to me, there was so much in that gesture of giving me the food I needed to nourish my body and doing it in a way that nourished the community. And so I really think of Cooley Cooley as being that gateway to functional medicinal plants that nourish the community that they're sourced from and nourish the people who consume them. And so really wanted our company name to be emblematic of that, and also to give us the leeway as we're now incorporating other climate smart, community cultivated superfood into our platform. So we have baobab, we have hibiscus, we have sustainably sourced cacao, we have lucuma, all these really cool plants that maybe haven't made it to the US in a big way, but have so, and so that's why we didn't call ourselves the Moringa Moringa Company. Did Cooley Cooley instead.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
What if you knew exactly where to focus to go further, faster? Imagine having clarity on your strengths and barriers and the ability to take action and gain unstoppable momentum to deliver results in advance. Take the Beyond Barriers Momentum Metric Quiz to get a personalized report on the 5 C's, core categories used to measure and accelerate success. Visit gobeyondbarriers.com/quiz to get your report today.
I want to shift a little bit around power of community, because you turned to crowdfunding, right? And that is a bit of a community of people who will invest and believe and whatnot. But can you talk a little bit about the journey of that crowdfunding? Because I'm sure it wasn't just like you turned on the crowdfunding and then all of a sudden it just came pouring in. There was a little bit of, what is that story? What is, how do you get people to start joining you? But what was the community pitch that you were able to pitch people to believe in you?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I'm a big believer in, you know, building out an advisory board before you even have a business plan. Mm-hmm. And I really turned to everyone I could think of, searched my entire LinkedIn, like friends of friends, parent, family, friends, and just tried to talk to everyone I could about this idea, what I was trying to do, and really ask for their advice, ask for their connections. Who else do you know that knows things about food, that knows how to get started? Because before we even did a crowdfunding campaign, we wanted to make sure that we understood really clearly, if they give us $50,000, what do we do with that $50,000? Right. And then also, do we have enough people who are interested in this idea who I could say, hey, it was so great having coffee with you a few months ago. Wanted you to know that business idea I'm considering, I'm now bringing it to life. If you could put in $25 or $200, like anything would make a huge difference. And so I really built up that network in a really big way. I considered that to be my job on top of my day job, was just like meeting and talking to everybody I could. And that community really came through for us. We had 800 people from 23 different countries raise over $50,000. And at the time, we were the most popular food campaign that Indiegogo had ever had. So it was a really incredible experience of bringing that community together.
Congratulations. And I love that you shared how you were reaching out to people and building real relationships, right? Because I want to demystify this idea that really having influential, powerful, intentional relationships to help you reach your goals is not icky, or it's not the, like, you have this like underlying motive that you're just using these people. The way that you talked about it and the joy that I could see was in when you were sharing that story, is that you built real relationships and you built a real community. And we hear a lot of the times from individuals where they feel like, well, I feel like if I reach out to somebody and ask them for help, or I don't have anything to give them right away, that it's just awkward and it feels, for the lack of a better term, icky. And how did you, like, it doesn't seem like you had that problem. It seems like you just really genuinely reached out, asked for advice. What would you share with the audience for someone who's hesitant of reaching out and to even cold strangers sometimes to say, hey, I know you're an expert in this space. Can you give me some of your time?
I think people forget that generally people like to feel smart. Like they like to feel like they have good advice, that they have value to offer. And I do 1 to 2 calls a week with different entrepreneurs, generally in the food business, trying to start things, just talking to them. And I feel like I learned so much from them, just from how they're thinking about it, how they're doing things. And I enjoy it. It's fun. And so I think that it's on them to say no. If they don't have the time or the interest to meet with you, that's totally fine. But I think asking is always a good idea. And then the thing I will say is, I also think it's a lot about the follow-up. Like, I'm a big believer that, you know, 90% of success is in the follow-up. And so thinking about, okay, after I met with this person, for example, one of the first people I reached out to was a guy named Chris, who runs a really cool company, Guayaquil, first pioneer yerba mate. Mm-hmm. Mate is similar to Moringa, very earthy, has these interesting medicinal benefits. And so I reached out to him and he was kind enough to be like, yeah, we'll do a tea coffee date, no coffee, mate date. And then afterwards I sent him a note and I said, Chris, thank you so much for your time. Like, I learned so much from your experience. I love the way you did X, Y, and Z. I really took to heart when you told me like to do blank blank with my business. I don't even remember what he said, but I wrote like a very thoughtful follow up thank you. Mm-hmm. And then I kept him updated, and I keep, to this day, I have about 400 people on this list whom I send quarterly updates of, hey, as like a mentor or advisor to Cooley Cooley, just wanted to let you know, here's some of the things we're working on, here's where we could use some help, here's some of success in, and just keeping people updated, and people love it. Like, it doesn't take much of my time to do it, but people feel so special that I met them years ago and still keep them updated on our progress.
I love what you just shared, because that whole closed loop thing, it almost plays into that what's in it for me, right? I gave you 30 minutes of my time and my advice. And yes, it made me feel good that I could contribute to you and feel significant because I gave you this advice. But the closed loop almost makes them feel even better because when they see you progressing, it's kind of like, I helped that. Like I helped her move forward, right? And so it gives them a little bit of that gratification, right? The gratification, that little dopamine hit of, look how amazing she's doing. And I had a little part to play in it, right? I think that's Absolutely. Phenomenal. I love that you shared that. Closed loop is so important. And we forget that. We forget that people want to stay, they want to stay connected. And I think sometimes for some of the women that we hear from, they undervalue that, or they undervalue of, oh, I don't want to bother them. They're super busy, or they're super senior, or they don't have time for me. But the way that you framed it, in that keeping them updated as to, hey, as an advisor and mentor to me and Cooley Cooley, here's what we're doing, and here's where we could use some more help. So you continue asking for what you need. And once your list keeps getting to the size of yours, like 400, you're going to have a handful of people reach back out and say, hey, here's how I can help you, or let me connect you, or these types of things. And that reciprocity keeps happening, right? I think that's phenomenal. I love that.
What if you knew exactly where to focus to go further, faster? Imagine having clarity on your strengths and barriers and the ability to take action and gain unstoppable momentum to deliver results in advance. Take the Beyond Barriers Momentum Metric Quiz to get a personalized report on the 5 C's, core categories used to measure and accelerate success. Visit gobeyondbarriers.com/quiz to get your report today.
I want to shift gears and talk a little bit about this elusive work-life balance thing, right? Because you talked about how in the very beginning, you had a full-time job, you were doing this on the side, and then you ended up going full-time doing this. And so I know you as a entrepreneur who's in both of us still in a startup-y phase, that you are wearing many, many hats and doing a lot of different things and things that you never thought you would be doing in a regular day job. So first, can you describe your typical day and how do you ensure that you guys are executing on everything? But then I'd love for you to share on ways that you stay grounded and take care of yourself. Are you doing a good job of like oxygen mask on yourself so that you can keep going?
I'll take the first part first. Yes, I am a big believer that if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to take care of anything else. And so I exercise every morning. I eat a good breakfast, lunch, dinner. I don't get meals. I love food. And I really am big on 8 hours of sleep. And I'll just stop whatever I'm doing to be like, nope, it's 10 o'clock. I need to be asleep. I need to go. And it's something where I think I've gotten even better at it now that I have 2 young kids, because it's been even more forced into, and I have to maximize every single moment of my time. You know, I'm either taking care of myself, or I'm taking care of my kids, or I'm taking care of my business. But I think having self-care be one of those 3, like, is super important. Just recognizing I need time for myself, and that looks different for everyone. I think for me, it's about getting outside and going on a run or going on a hike, and like just having a little bit of quiet in the morning helps me so much that I can bring my best self to work.
I see that. Yes, absolutely. And can you talk a little bit about how do you draw those boundaries? Are there days where it's like, oh, this is going to take away from my workout or take away from this time that I need for myself? How do you push back, or how do you avoid that? Or what is it that you do to protect that time for yourself?
Yeah, certainly, especially as travel has resumed post-pandemic. Going places for sales meetings. Like, I was just in Arkansas last week for a meeting with Walmart. I arrived at 11 p.m. My meeting was like at 8 a.m. the next morning. So there are things outside of my control sometimes that I can't keep to my routine. But I do really try to say, okay, let's reset. Let's get back into it and try to have it not be something where, oh, well, I haven't worked out in days, like I just don't have the time. No, this is this is the most important thing. Like making sure I'm in a good place is the most important thing. And then I also think entrusting a lot to my team. Like I've got an incredible group of super smart, super talented teammates and making sure that I'm fully delegating to them and that they're really owning key parts of the business. Like we're still a small team. We're still 10 people and we're multi-million dollars in sales, but so everybody owns big pieces of it. And I think just making sure that I like trust them and delegate to them that I'm not micromanaging, because I think that's when as a leader you piss off the people you work for, and you also lose a lot of the time for yourself if you're involved in everyone else's work too.
Yeah, I love what you said that in terms of not micromanaging and making sure you're delegating to people, because sometimes we really have to be aware of who we are, right? And if we are the perfectionists who are afraid to let go of things, then that's where, yes, you're going to burn out. And I love what you said about resetting, because I think it's one of those things where you can't control it, right? And there are going to be some times, like you said, your travel to Arkansas, getting there at 11 p.m., having to be there at 8 a.m. So maybe you couldn't get in that morning workout, but the next day or the following day saying, reset, let me start over, and keeping that like habitual pattern. And instead of just like throwing it out the window, I think that was really important of the reset as well. I love that. We talk about what is your daily habit, your ritual that you do for yourself to help you make sure that you're executing at your best every day. Is there something like, what is your magic? You mentioned workouts and other things, but what do you do to make sure that you yourself are executing and focusing on what you need to focus on for your company to move forward?
Totally. In addition to getting the good night's sleep, breaking out in the morning, I'm also a big believer in food as medicine. And since the company I run.
Yeah.
And so I'm really particular about what I eat and the type of food I put into my body. And so in the morning, I have a superfood oatmeal that I make. I actually also feed it to my 3-year-old and my 1-year-old. So maybe not as gross as it might sound, but I do chia seeds, flax seeds, cacao nibs, and then some moringa powder, some hemp seeds, a little bit of nut butter, and then whatever fruit topping, especially for the kids, a little more fruit on there.
Right.
And it's just like a really great kind of warm, delicious meal that helps me get going and ensuring that I'm hitting all of the right nutrients I need to feel good.
I love that. And I think, like you said, it's good that even your kids are eating it, right? And I think being intentional on giving yourself the energy that you need to move forward. And I think it comes down again to self-care, right? It's so important. And there are times where I'm a culprit where like you skip your morning breakfast because you had the early morning meeting and things like that. And then it's okay maybe for one day, but if it starts happening over and over, at some point your body's going to give and it snowballs. So I love how you are setting the example. And again, like you said, you are leading by example. You have a company that's focused on like being intentional on giving yourself energy and putting the right things in your body. So I think that's phenomenal. So I want to shift to, I could talk to you over and over, but I know like we have to close out this conversation. I want to move to our lightning round questions. And these are fun because I feel like they give us a glimpse into who Lisa is in a very different way. So my first question to you is, what book has greatly influenced you?
Muhammad Yunus's Building Social Enterprise was really this light bulb moment for me of, oh, it doesn't have to be just pure business and it doesn't have to be just like feel good nonprofit. I think especially growing up in the Bay Area, you think of those as being very polarity.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm so excited about this book. And it was in some way the blueprint for building Coolie Coolie. Like, how do we build a business that like fundamental to its DNA is good for the world? And the more we sell, the more good we do.
I love that. What is your favorite inspiring quote or saying?
Yeah, I really like the quote, shoot for the moon, and if you don't hit the moon, you'll land among the stars. Yes. I think that is very much who I am, is I am always going to ask, I'm always going to try, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out.
I love that. And I think that's really actually what's helped you be successful, because you mentioned early on when you were selling your idea, the idea was formulating in your head. And there were people who were like, okay, great, little girl, this is an amazing like thought or idea. But like you said, it was like, well, I'm going to shoot for the moon. Like, why would I make this kind of just like a small little farmer's market thing? And that's it. Let me make it something big. And kudos to you, because you had made it something phenomenal, and super excited to be sharing your story. Next question. What is one word or moniker you would use to describe yourself?
I would use vibrant, because I'm a big believer in vibrant communities, in vibrant living, in vibrant to me also reminds me a lot of my time in New Share, where there's so many vibrant fabrics and colors, and also the community that I lived in there was so vibrant, and I'm always trying to create more vibrancy in the world around me.
I love that. I think that's the perfect word. And looking at your background too, just all of your products are vibrant in their color, and it just brings joy when you look at it. So I think that's phenomenal. You pegged it. I think vibrant is definitely your word. Another question is, what is one change, a habit, a behavior, or an action that you implemented that made your life better?
I think the biggest change for me was having a really clear 8 p.m. cutoff on screen. Mm-hmm. Because I have, in the past and even not so long ago, find it so easy. You start doing email and then all of a sudden you look up and it's 11 p.m. And then it's hard to sleep because you're still thinking of the emails and you're all the things you want to do. And then you wake up in the morning and have, for me at least, I have a very unproductive day because I'm tired and I didn't get the chance to reset. And so making sure that I put my phone down, I put my computer down, that I'm like not on screen after 8 p.m.
I love that. I think that's the universe's way of like you, they're talking to me through you, because lately my wife and I have been having conversations of, she was like, you've got to shut down. And so having to put that really hard kind of like, I'm just going to pull the plug, unplug at 8 o'clock and that's it. Right.
I think that's neuroscience. I think your wife is right. I've been reading a lot about the neuroscience of, you know, what screens do and like why shut down, both from a sleep perspective and from a like not having screens is important. Like your mind needs time to reset and decompress. And when you don't have that, I think it has a bigger impact than we think.
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to adopt, Lisa, your 8 o'clock shutdown thing. And you're going to pop in my head every day, 8 o'clock of like, don't.
All right. I love it. So am I.
And then finally, this is one of my favorites. Okay, so what power song would you want playing as you walked out onto stage?
Oh, so Shakira has this great song, Try Again. And I think to that same motto of like, all right, you don't get it, try again. That is one, and I know you asked for one, but I'm going to give a second one.
Yeah.
High Hopes for a Living by Panic at the Disco. That is also...
Those are two really amazing ones. I love that. And I love the try again, because that's another anthem of mine that I love to listen to, especially when, you know, you feel like you've hit a wall. It's amazing to just turn on that power song and get re-energized and say, okay, let me pivot, navigate around this and see where I can go. Phenomenal. 100%. Well, Lisa, I so enjoyed our conversation. And we get this all the time. Our podcast guests will reach out and want to know how they could follow you, how they can learn more about you. How can they get your product? Where are you? Where can they find you? Just share more of how we can just stay in touch with you and follow Coolie Coolie Foods wherever you're at.
Yeah. So I am on LinkedIn and Instagram, and probably LinkedIn is where I post the most. Would love to connect with folks there. Coolie Foods, KULIKULIFOODS.com. That's where you can buy all of our products. We've got a Beyond Barriers 20% off. So just type Beyond Barriers at checkout and you'll get 20% off your purchase. And then we are also on Amazon and we're in 11,000 stores nationwide. So whether you shop at Whole Foods or Sprouts or Walmart, you know, where chances are we're probably in a store near you. So keep an eye out for us there. And we, as we'll do a slight plug, we are launching some new products that I'm so excited about. To the sleep one, we have this chocolate gummy with ashwagandha that really helps you relax and unwind and is great kind of like little bedtime treat. So check that one out. And then we have this sour berry baobab gummy that's great for skin health, has hyaluronic acid, super delicious as well. And it's a sour gummy, which is just, I would eat it all day. It's actually good for you in addition to that. So check out our new product. We just launched them and they'll be launching at Whole Foods and Sprouts in the next few weeks.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. It was such an amazing opportunity to have you on. Thank you for joining us. And I'm sure the conversation will continue. Thanks again, Lisa.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Beyond Barriers podcast. There are thousands of podcasts out there, and we are so grateful that you've chosen to listen to ours. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating and tell a friend, or share what you've learned on LinkedIn and tag us. We love hearing from our audience. Visit us at gobeyondbarriers.com, where you can subscribe and find show notes, links, and the best way to connect with our guests.